At the White House today, President Donald Trump signed a proclamation honoring Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Through his bravery and sacrifice, Dr. King opened the eyes and lifted the conscience of our nation. He stirred the hearts of our people to recognize the dignity written in every human soul.
Well, this follows enormous outcry that the president yesterday, in a meeting with lawmakers, may have used a deeply vulgar term to describe Haiti, El Salvador, African countries, and immigrants from those countries. Trump tweeted this morning that he used, quote, tough language, but appeared to deny using the vulgarity. The White House, however, did not deny it yesterday.
And on Capitol Hill today, Senate Democrat Dick Durbin said he was in that meeting and he heard exactly how the president responded to a bipartisan deal on immigration. And a warning now, Senator Durbin uses the offensive language.
He said, Haitians, do we need more Haitians? And then he went on when we started to describe the immigration from Africa that was being protected in this bipartisan measure. That's when he used these vile and vulgar comments, calling the nations they come from shitholes. The exact word used by the president, not more, not just once, but repeatedly.
All right, let's get to our Friday politics roundtable. Chad Pergram, Fox News senior producer for Capitol Hill, is here. Hey, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Jose Diaz-Balart is news anchor for Telemundo and NBC. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. So, look, we should say that your brother, Mario, is a Republican congressman from Florida who was in the room with Trump when he made those remarks. Now, your policy is not to speak to your brother about anything work-related, and we're going to respect that. But Dick Durbin—
Also, just to make a point, yeah. I have not spoken to him since
good.
This.
Okay, good to know. Look, Dick Durbin was in the room, and he has spoken. Just tell us, how are those comments going over in Washington today?
Well, I mean, look, it's just disgusting. You know, to hear that in a meeting when they're talking about immigration, and we're talking about people who are here and who are trying to make a new life for themselves and their families, people who have overcome deep and severe adversity. And if we're talking about Haiti, today is the anniversary of the Haitian earthquake in 2010 that killed from 100 to 300,000 people in the Western Hemisphere's poorest country. And these 56,000 Haitians who have been in the United States since then under TPS who are now going to lose that TPS. You know, to talk about people like anybody like that, that you come from a place that is difficult, poor, and but these people that are here are contributing, and it's disgusting, it is repulsive, it is, however, I think important that I think about this because of the many times I've been at the White House, not under President Trump that many times, but under previous administrations, and when there are, you know, off the record conversations with a president, sometimes presidents can use salty language. The question is, is this a time to be using this kind of language?
Right. Chad, why don't you jump in here? What are you hearing on Capitol Hill? We've heard from lawmakers from both sides of the aisle here who have condemned this speech. What else are you hearing?
Right. Well, you're going to have those sorts of condemnations, but you also have another set of members, frankly, from both sides of the aisle, certainly those who don't appreciate this sort of language, but saying, here we go again. Some people said immediately, does this complicate this debate to get an agreement on DACA and avoid a government shutdown a week from today? Frankly, under conventional circumstances, it would. But we are in unconventional times. And those issues, trying to get an agreement on DACA for the Dreamers, trying to increase defense spending and avoid a government shutdown in about a week's time, those issues are so complicated. It's like multi-level chess. So even though you have this severe comment by the President of the United States using very profane terms, it doesn't seem to be impacting that. And I should point out that Dick Durbin said something interesting about how he doubted that he had ever heard or there had ever been such language used in the Oval Office. I would remind folks that go back and read Master of the Senate by Robert Caro about Lyndon Johnson and some of the foul things that he is quoted as saying during his time in the House.
How about listening to some of the Watergate tapes?
Certainly, yeah. And I was also going to mention, Nixon in particular calling out Dick Cavett, the television host, and talking about his religious faith, Judaism.
So can I jump in here? Because you make a good point, right? I mean, salty language has been used in the Oval Office before. And on the one hand, I don't think anybody should be surprised that President Donald Trump may have said something like this, because he is also the man who began his candidacy calling Mexicans criminals and rapists. The bigger issue to me, though, is in reference – in using this language in reference mm-hmm. to nations like Haiti, mm-hmm. El Salvador, et cetera. Let me just ask the both of you, is he betraying an attitude about people from those countries because of who they are? In other words, an attitude along the lines of race and immigration.
Well, sometimes, this is sort of crystallized in what actions you see him take. The administration and him in particular have been criticized for how they address the hurricane in Puerto Rico, tossing paper towels around. The Republican Party has real problems with the minority voters. We're facing a midterm election here. There were a couple of key retirements just this past week announced from Republican members in California.
Darrell Issa, a very prominent congressman.
And that's a swing district. You start to wonder, is this the sort of thing that builds a wave? And I talked to some Democratic lawmakers here prior to the comment, and they were talking about how energized the minority communities, the Latino communities, the African-American communities were going into this election because of how they were perceiving the DACA issue.
And Chad, I'm glad you brought up Puerto Rico. I just want to bring up a quick update, because we're nearly four months after Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico, millions of Puerto Ricans, U.S. citizens, and close to 40% of the island still does not have electricity. Think about that for a minute.
And another point on that, what has not been talked about much in this debate about funding the government by the end of next week is this disaster bill. You know, they moved a big mm-hmm. disaster bill for the wildfires in California, the hurricanes in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands through the House. It has not been moved through the Senate. And I've been shocked this past week. I've heard scant conversation here on Capitol Hill about attaching that in some form, modifying it, and attaching it to that interim spending bill that they hope to move next week, or even when they're going to address it. There's not a lot of bandwidth. They will address it at some point. But again, they tried to do this before Christmas. It didn't work out. And now we're in mid-January.
Look, there is some other context here. And that is that some Republicans, some conservatives do seem to be supporting what the president said. Ann Coulter appeared to be pleased by what the president said. She tweeted that maybe the president is trying to win me back. We remember earlier this week, the president seemed to soften his stance on immigration when he was meeting with a bipartisan group of lawmakers. So cynics will say that he could be playing to his base, but I just wonder if you're cynical enough to believe that, Chad.
Well, here's where the issue comes, and I talk about the midterm elections. Just this morning, Martha McSally, a moderate Republican mm-hmm. congresswoman from Arizona, announced that she's running for the Senate. And if you look at her ad, she talked about how she was close to President Trump. She was in these meetings trying to work out something on border security and immigration. Arizona is an emerging state that is turning purplish. That is going to be a seat that's in play as Jeff Flake retires right now. And to be associating yourself with the president in a swing state when you're a moderate, and then he comes out and says this at the same time you announce your candidacy, and that's in your ad that I got at 5:30 this morning. Wow, that's going to be a problem for Martha McSally.
Jose, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it is, I think it's to be expected that when a president or anybody else is speaking off the record in the privacy of his office or his home, whatever that may be, that he can use salty language is one thing. But to talk about people who are suffering and who have come to this country and who are contributing in such a fine fashion, like the Haitian American community, like the Salvadoran community, like the Honduran community, the Nicaraguan community, and so many other communities, South Sudan, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, that are here under TPS and other ways. And to talk about these people who are following the American dream and who are participating with honesty, dignity, and with such respect for this country, to talk about that as being maybe it's just not the words he used as much as what he was referring to.
Mm. Well, there is some fallout here. I mean, we're just seeing today that the U.S. ambassador to Panama, John Feely, who's a career diplomat and former Marine Corps helicopter pilot, has resigned.
And can I point out something about that? You know, there's a little bit of a misnomer on that. He had actually announced that he was leaving yesterday.
Right.
Fox News has confirmed that, and then there was a statement that, no, he's resigning because of that. There's some reporting out there that that's the case, but according to our information here, that's not the way this went down with the ambassador from Panama.
I see. I'm seeing Reuters has seen an excerpt of his resignation letter, and he said that his instructors made clear that if he believed he could not serve in an apolitical fashion under the current administration, he would be honor-bound to resign, and that time has come. So we'll see how this unfolds as it continues to do so. Chad Pergram, Fox News senior producer for Capitol Hill, thanks very much.
Always a pleasure.
And Jose Diaz-Balart, news anchor for Telemundo and NBC, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.